You're listening to SpectraCast, the show where I get behind the scenes on diversity and inclusion. I'll be talking to a number of people who have taken steps towards greater inclusion of others, and also with those who have benefited from being included in the workplace. Whilst my bias might be towards recruiting and retaining neurodiverse people, I'll also explore practical approaches to being more inclusive overall. Hi, I'm your host Chris Turner, and I've made it my mission to help employers to embrace and reap the rewards of being more inclusive of neurodiversity. In doing so, I hope to do my little part in ensuring more neurodiverse people get the same opportunities and choices as everyone else when it comes to work and employment. So, if you're curious and want to learn from those who are doing it, and you favour action over inaction, then stick around.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the show, guys. Really great to have you here with me today. And if you're new to the show, welcome. I really do appreciate you tuning in, and I hope you get something out of this. In this episode, I sit down with Bob Schmoos, who's a registered therapist that works with disabled youth, helping them get back on the right track and make the most of the opportunities that they have in front of them. This is a really interesting story, I think, from Bob. He shares a few of his own personal experiences, what got him involved in this, what his motivations are, and some of his other interests. So stick around and enjoy the show.
So Bob, I was just really kind of really interested to learn a little bit more about your story, you know, the journey you've been on, the things that you're doing, and in particular, I think for a lot of people who listen to the podcast, it's a understanding, I guess, some of the barriers, and then the simple ways that people can overcome those barriers to providing employment opportunities for neurodiverse people. So, kind of that's what the show's about, and it's always interesting to hear from some people who can talk the talk, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Where should I start?
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? So what do you do for a living?
I work as a licensed therapist.
Yep.
I work at a residential home for adolescents with developmental disabilities, including autism.
Okay.
Who also have behavioral issues. So I do one-on-one therapy, group therapy. I also do like treatment plans and family therapy.
Okay. And how did you get into that? What interested you to do that?
Well, to do therapy itself, it really starts out when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I was growing up, I always I always felt that there was something different about me.
Yeah.
Like they would have some friends, but it was so, I felt my interactions were so different from others. Like, and also with socially, with when it comes to understanding, like basically the world, like my whole, like I was so focused on different interests, and I was like kind of escaped myself with those interests, escaped myself into my own world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then by the time I went to high school, I was always anxious, always like nervous, worried, kind of so depressed, and it got too much for me sophomore year. I can tell you exactly, it was an it was February 2005.
Yeah.
Basically had a huge nervous breakdown that I had to be sent to a crisis psych ward at a hospital for almost a week.
Yeah.
And that's when I was fully diagnosed with being on the spectrum.
Okay.
Once I found that out, it opened so many doors. Like more doors about myself. Like I finally know why I act a certain way, why I'm always I'm focused on a certain thing, why I kind of escape myself. Like it makes sense. Like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. not only that, but I'm not alone.
Absolutely. I'm not the only.
Yeah, so, and people who are therapists really helped me with that process. So just really, I just wanted to do something just like them to show that people aren't alone.
Awesome. So it was really your own personal experience was the catalyst to get into the therapy type work.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. And I guess that really being able to truly relate to the people that you're working with must give them a lot of confidence as well, surely.
I like to hope so.
Yeah, well, you've got some practical experience. It's not just theoretical and or third hand, I guess, is probably for the majority of people in therapy and counseling. So that's awesome. And so, and what are the sort of reasons that you end up dealing with these people? Like, what brings them to you?
Well, a lot of them have like behavioral issues. Like, a lot of them have aggression, physical aggression, also self-interest behaviors, and property destruction. And when a lot of this aggression, mostly because they're not bad kids. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of it, but they have difficulty expressing themselves. Whether it's hard for them to articulate like how they feel. Like, I'll tell you right now, like, for me, it's hard to articulate certain things.
Yeah.
But for, there are those kids who are nonverbal and they just want to express, but they can't.
Yeah. So I've heard that. Yeah, no, it's a really good point that you raise, because I think there can often be a common misconception around the aggression, especially when it comes to autism, because it's something that pops up in the media from time to time, and that's, I think it's grossly misunderstood by a lot of people. And yeah, I've seen it myself, and it does seem to be purely related to the inability to either understand, relate, or express a need, want, or an emotion. And it's something you see, I think, quite common with neurotypical toddlers, like young children, who haven't quite got a grasp of language, really are feeling something or wanting something, can't get it, get super frustrated, and it boils over.
Oh my God, absolutely. And you know what? And it's not just with those who have more cognitive difficulties. It's also with, like, you know, the higher end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though we can say things, it's hard for us to really fully like express it. Like, it feels like so frustrating, and everyone around us can have these feelings. Everyone else around us, but can express these feelings in a certain way. But when we try to do it, it's so hard. It's like, we know, and it also kind of relates to how many on the spectrum are more visual.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to see more, like, view things in a visual aspect. Because I'll tell you, for me, like, I'm able to really learn by seeing more.
Yeah.
Than told.
Yeah, and do you think that then has a direct influence in the when it comes to verbalizing concepts, that it's, if they were able to draw it or create a visual depiction of the idea and then talk to that rather than just trying to explain themselves? Do you think there's something around that, or?
Yeah, because I feel that's actually more helpful, because like with the kids I worked with in the past, like, they were able to really, like, they use certain things called PACs, which are like pictures,
mm-hmm.
emotions for wanting to do things. And that's been very helpful for them.
Right.
Right, and that helps to get their point across.
Yeah. So I think, and I suspect it often comes up in a workplace type scenario as well, is this frustration about trying to, express oneself or explain an idea or whatever it might be. What are some of the what are the sort of some simple strategies that you've seen that can be reasonably effective in kind of, I guess, resetting that situation and finding an alternative path?
I think the best type of thing is, for me, is to really know where they're at. Like, know what their strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for someone is able to, they have, if a person on the spectrum has difficulty expressing, like, their feelings, but, and especially if they're, like, nonverbal, the best thing to do is, like, they can do more, like, hands-on type of things. Like, for instance, like, they're able to draw, they're able yep. to, some are nonverbal, but are able to write.
Mm-hmm.
That's been helpful for them. So doing, like, more hands-on type of methods have been very helpful.
Okay. And when, and I guess for the individual, when they're in that moment and feeling frustrated, what's your general advice to them to kind of regather themselves?
Well, I help them with making cope with implementing coping skills.
Yeah.
Like with deep breathing and just, you know, maybe using a lot of like kind of a, like sensory items. Like taking like a little like break for themselves, themselves down, like that's been very helpful.
Yeah, because you know what, I wonder how much of a correlation there might be between the sorts of strategies, and we're talking about autistic people here, and I suspect that it plays out for many neurodiverse people as well. And I kind of think it sounds like what we're really talking about is stress and anxiety management. And you're going, how relatable would that be for anybody who's starting to feel very stressed, very anxious, very frustrated in a particular situation, and the sorts of things that you might do, yeah, how effective they might be for anybody. It kind of feels to me, my gut tells me it's going to be a pretty similar approach would be useful. Well, what do you think?
Well, one thing I've always believed in is that everybody reacts differently to certain situations, and also how they cope with those situations varies.
Yeah.
Like for instance, like for example, a deep breathing might be helpful for one person, but other. While, you know, drawing might be helpful for some person when they feel stressed, but not for someone. But someone else might like go for a walk.
Yes.
Like, for me, like despite being like on the spectrum, despite that, like we are very diverse within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes for everybody. Really, everyone is different. And I know what you're saying. It's a bit of a horses for courses thing. It's you've got to find what works for you. Yeah, what's most effective for the individual. But I guess having a toolbox of, you know, tactics that you could apply, you sort of sort through and work out what helps and what doesn't. But
yeah, and that's the best way to put it, a toolbox, because you see, when you think of a toolbox, you think, okay, they're tools to help fix things, but each tool is different. For example, like tool can help it. Is more towards stress, while another one is towards depression.
That's right, and yeah, and as you say, people are gonna respond differently to those different things. Just as I guess they do respond differently to different stresses. You know, everyone's got slightly different triggers around things. So
exactly,
that's cool. And so, what are the sorts of things that you're looking forward to doing? You know, as your career progresses, what are your sort of aspirations?
Well, I want to continue to do more advocacy for those on the spectrum. Like, I want to do actually more with adults on the spectrum, especially in regards to employment, as well as social skills, behavioral health. Because that's another population I want to work with is is mental health.
Yep.
And especially with those who are on the spectrum, because you see, a lot of people who were diagnosed when they were younger, and this was like around like the 90s when people were starting to really understand like what autism is.
Yeah.
All of them are growing up now. Many of them are in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And they need certain skills to help them be successful in life. And I want to do what I can to advocate for them.
Absolutely. I think that's brilliant too. Because things change, don't they? And I think often it can be the challenge of relearning how to apply strategies that you've already learnt, applying those to new situations. It's not always as maybe as obvious, perhaps for many autistic people in particular, and how to relate one situation to the next. And they may have the skills. It's just helping them see how they can reapply them in a slightly different way, perhaps. But yeah, so that's awesome. Is that brilliant? Brilliant. And have you, because I know you've been involved with a couple of nonprofits and the like to date. So is that the sort of arena that you're thinking of, or is it something different?
Well, I do want to, down the line, I do want to do more like therapy. Like I want to do more, continue like building on my therapy skills. Like I want to see how, work with utilizing like DBT and CBT with the adult population.
Yep.
Like I'm with that, but I also want to like even work at a university. Like help, whether it be like an adjunct professor or even go for my doctorate.
Awesome.
I also still want to like work with organizations with helping with spreading autism advocacy, especially in this place. Like I want to do things like both domestic and abroad.
Absolutely.
Like speaking engagements and really want to help those with these issues.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's massive value in having more, I guess more people who are self-advocating and being able to communicate directly from within the, you know, the target population themselves. So, you know, more autistic people advocating for autistic people. I think it adds so much more weight to any argument that's put forward. And it also, the other thing I think it really does is it helps it truly humanize some of the challenges, the issues, but also the things to celebrate around the difference of people. And break down some of the barriers and misconceptions that people have.
Oh my God, absolutely. Because, you know, when people think of autism, they think of like one view. And it's usually like, and then people, they would kind of like stick to that view. When in reality, it's so vast. The spectrum is so vast. And the only way to really understand it, truly understand it, you can read all these psychological books on autism, professionals in the field, but to really, truly understand it is to really speak with those who have it.
Yeah.
Really meet, have it. And really, like, so you can have that personal feel of it.
Absolutely, and I think what most people will realize pretty quickly once they've had a few of those conversations, everyone is so different. There is no singular definition, really. It's you kind of just like you. If you're dealing with anybody, and if you want to support someone to be successful, truly support them to be successful, you've got to understand who they are, where they're coming from, what their aspirations are, what their goals are, and what are the things that they need help with to achieve that success. And everyone's going to be different. I don't think you can just get a paintbrush and go blop, you know, and this is the approach.
The painting of autism, it's not just like a blot on a canvas. It's Monet, it's Goya, it's Dali, it's Raphael, it's Rembrandt, it's all these different. The reason I make those examples is because, you know, it all is to show the vast diversity of it.
That's it. It is interesting. And I was talking to someone just the other day, and they were having a conversation with a colleague, and it was kind of that common misconception around autism being an intellectual, like disability or a deficiency. You know, there's an impairment intellectually, mentally. And I think that the other person was sort of surprised after having had an interaction with somebody who was on the spectrum and realizing actually it's not like that at all. And this is a guy who's really capable at doing what he's doing, and you know, he does a fantastic job. And you know, within his comforts, he's really sociable and outgoing. Maybe not nowhere near as some other people might be, but you know, it's give him some time and space, and he's no real different to anybody else. And I think it was for people who hadn't had a dealing in kind of, you do hear the textbooky type stuff, which tends to weigh heavily on the negatives. I think it's really enlightening for them. Mm.
Yeah, I think, and it's unfortunate because for a long time that was the only thing we've had.
Mm.
Long time. Hell, like, I don't know what it was in Australia, but don't mind me saying, but in America, it wasn't put in the DSM until 1994, at least Asperger's. DSM is like the American Psychological Association.
Yeah, and that's the criteria set that's used here to do diagnosis as well.
Oh, okay.
But you know, when you go through the diagnostic criteria, it's all based on what a person can't do relative to a set of standard norms that society, I guess, has just arbitrarily dictated that this is what normal is. And I think what we're learning is normal is not what we think it is, really.
Right. And definitely because, you know, when you really look at it, that neurotypical world, this whole, like, norms and all these, like, social mores and norms, is that they change all the time. How are we supposed to, or which one are we going to follow?
Well, this is it. And I was reading an article a while back. It was really interesting. And it was discussing dyslexia and saying, you know, in the sort of the 1800s, 1700s, when there was no social expectation that everyone should be able to read and write. It was only for a select few. And right. Dyslexia didn't exist. Now we have this social expectation that everyone should be able to read and write at a certain sort of level. And it flushes out those who struggle with that. And now, therefore, we have this thing that's dyslexia. But it's purely based on a social expectation. You know, and you can go into different cultures who have different social expectations, and it's going to influence the views around some of these sorts of things as well, which is really fascinating. So as you say, like, and it does change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a saying that, you know, they say that the country with the most people diagnosed on the spectrum is Japan. And having an understanding of, like, the customs and mores in Japan, it's kind of understanding why.
Mm.
Because, you know, there's a lot of, like, you know, it's...
It is interesting, isn't it?
It is. Very interesting.
No, definitely. And just, I think, just challenging the concept of normal and different. And I think being... helping people be a lot more flexible and accepting that different is actually good. You know, having an army of clones is not necessarily the most effective way to achieve the sorts of things we want to achieve across society, whether it's, you know, within business or whether it's in nonprofit, whether it's in community work, whatever it is. You know, I think having everyone, a group of people who are basically replicants of each other and who think the same and have the same backgrounds and the like, is you're missing a real opportunity.
You are. You really are. Like, you want, like, by not seeing, like, the differences of them, people, it's like, then you don't really see the person. You don't really see the person if you don't see the differences and see how the differences are.
That's it. Absolutely. Now, Bob, I was just thinking, if people were interested in connecting with you or learning a little bit more about what you're up to, and I'm also thinking, you know, you put it out there, you'd like to get some more speaking engagements and the like, how could people best get in touch with you? What's the best way?
The best way is through email.
Yep. And what's your email? Do you want to put it out here? I'll include it in the show notes as well if you like.
Oh yes. It is it's my last name. It's S as in Sam, C H M as in Mary, U S as in Sam. The number's 898@gmail.com.
Awesome. So I'll include that in the show notes if people want to get in touch with you and learn a little bit more, or potentially have a conversation about how you might be able to help them in some way, whether that's through a bit of education, awareness, advocacy, or whatever it might be. So, yeah, really appreciate you making time.
Thanks for sticking around, guys. I really do hope you enjoyed the episode today. I'm going to ask one small favour, and one only. If you have enjoyed the podcast today, please like and subscribe. It really helps me get to a broader audience and for other people to hear these conversations. Thanks very much, and I do hope to see you back next time. Cheers.